We're looking at Luke chapter 14, some of the parables of Jesus of the banquets, and that's on page 739 in your pew Bible, or you can look it up on a Bible app if you wish. We'll start with verse 1 and then go verses 7 to 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. And when he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. And if so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." And then, humiliated, you will have to take the seat, the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." And then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. For if you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, although they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of our Lord. Well, how do we balance a desire to succeed, achieve in life, with the need to help others, as in our parables for today? You know, I think one of the fundamental beliefs we have in Christianity is the belief of original sin. And original sin is that desire to pursue our own desires or wants rather than the willingness to serve and obey God. And it goes right back to the Garden of Eden. You know, Adam and Eve had everything they wanted or needed. And all God said was, "Don't eat from the tree in the center of the garden." Now, if you didn't know the rest of the story, you weren't Christian, you had never heard, and you heard the story being told, and they said, "God said, don't eat from the tree at the center of the garden," you know what the rest of the story is. It's human nature. And that's why it's not just those who are Christians, but any human will say, the rest of the story is they disobeyed God. We just know that's our human nature. Right from Adam and Eve, we want to do what we want to do. And so we have to be careful because that's our tendency. Our tendency is to think of what we want regardless of what God tells us we ought to pursue. You know, I've seen that. You know, one of the things that concerns me even in our society today as we're raising our kids, we're raising them so much to simply succeed. You've got to get ahead. And we have to be careful that we don't swing that pendulum so much to "you've got to get ahead" that we don't hear the biblical thing, the other side of life is you've got to care for others. Because both are important and finding balance in it. And one of the things I've seen is how many parents are not only do you need to get in the right school and excel in school, but you have to join the right sports team and you have to be in cheer and you have to be involved in other things. And even you have to be involved in a service project, not because you ought to serve people, but because it'll look good on your college resume. And we have to be careful that we're teaching our kids all that's important is getting into that right college, getting ahead, you know, for yourself. And when we, if we do that, and I've seen that, if the only reason you serve is so that it helps you, you're not serving anybody except yourself. And so Jesus in these parables says there's nothing wrong with success, there's nothing wrong with succeeding. You know, we hope Patrick succeeds as in his nursing school. That's a good thing. We honor that. We lift that up. But, you know, and that's one of the great things of nursing is it's a career that also helps other people. We need to balance that in our lives. And so Jesus in our parables today, you know, tries to give us that balance. And so he tells the parable of the banquet. When you go to a banquet, don't seek the place of honor. Don't just try to be the important one to show you're successful. That's our original sin that says, I want to be at the head table. Jesus says, better be careful. There may be somebody else that was invited, and now you have to go to a lower table and you're embarrassed. Instead, start low and let them take you to a higher table. And really, the point Jesus makes is the person who exalts themselves will be humbled. And the person who humbles themselves will be exalted. So practice that sense of humility, not just thinking of yourself when you're living. And then he tells, I think, an even more powerful parable to the host. He says, and he implies the next time you're giving, because Jesus and the other guests that are here are friends, are people that could repay him. He says, the next time you give a banquet, invite the poor, the lame, the blind. And why? Because they can't help you. Just do it for their sake. Do it because it's the right thing to do, to help others. And Jesus says, if you do that, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed at the resurrection of the righteous. And Jesus is saying, what does God want from us? He wants us not only to do well and to succeed, but to balance that by caring for others as well. And so that second parable especially is a parable, you know, that screams out, you've got to care for others, not just for yourself. Now, in John Ortberg's series that we've been following, All the Places to Go, today's lesson that he has on the media site is he tells the story of Peter. And Peter was a young man who had been abused growing up. He was beaten by his father. He was always yelled and screamed at. It was a miserable life to grow up in. And he says, as a teenager, he got into drugs and alcohol and to promiscuity, all because of this anger that had raised up inside of him from such an abusive family. And he says it wasn't until he had faith in Jesus that all of a sudden all that anger that he had accumulated, finally he was able to let go. He was able to receive forgiveness and love from God, and that freed him from his anger, to let it go, to forgive. But then he said his purpose now was to help others who were abused or had anger issues, and to help them. And Peter actually owned a small little manufacturing shop. And after he came to faith in Jesus, he said, you know, the goal of my business is not just to make money. It has to make money to survive. But he says, I want to extend God's reign through my business. And so what he went around doing was hiring men right out of prison, or hiring men who, when they came in, had a story of pain, and he tried to help put their lives back together, first by giving them a job, but at his little plant, he always had small group meetings where they talked about, where he shared his story of anger and how he had gotten through that through his faith, and how he tried to share that even with the young men he sought to help through these jobs and through the support that he gave them through his business. I thought, wow, what a powerful, powerful testimony. Because so often, businessmen only think of profit and the bottom line. And how do we balance success with caring for others? And Peter was one of those who had a successful business. It made money, but it wasn't just to make money. It was also, he saw a way that he could open doors for others and transform their lives. And so, one of the things that John Ortberg has in his series is, he says, the most important question you can ask is, what if? What if? You know, what if the world were different? What if I did something to bring God's kingdom into this world, to look at the world and wonder, what if? And so we do that. What if churches got together and pooled their resources to help the homeless, and so we have Ship House? What if Christians helped feed the poor, and so many Christian ministries who have done that? What if? The second story John Ortberg tells is a story of a small support group. It could be like one of our tables of eight. It could be like a Curcio grouping, small group. It could be a Bible study. But in this one church, much like ours, this one small group came across a family whose house had been damaged by flooding. And of course, as soon as you hear that story, you think to Louisiana right now, so many. But this group had run across this family that was living out of their car on the property where their house was, because the house was so damaged by a flood. And most people don't have flood insurance, and they didn't. They didn't have the money to fix it. And so as a group, they asked, what if? What if we tried to help? And some of them kind of had construction background, but one said, you know, I can ask other churches if they can help. I can ask for materials from a construction company. I can ask a buddy of mine, and together we can work on this unit. And this small group was able to repair that house and take a family that was living in a house, a car, and put them back in, because they asked the question, what if? Now, not any one of them could fix a house, but together, and even all of them together couldn't have done it, but by looking and asking the question, they were able to take the resources necessary to help that person. You know, when I was thinking about that question, what if, I thought of our new intern. She'll be joining us this next week, Rebecca Swanson. When she was college age, and Katrina hit Louisiana so bad, she asked that what if, and she volunteered a year of her life to go down to Louisiana. And there we have it's not a well-known thing like the Peace Corps, but there is a Lutheran Volunteer Corps. And she gave a year of her life at Lutheran Volunteer Corps, worked through a church down in Louisiana, and she can tell you stories of people that she helped for that year following Hurricane Katrina. Because she simply asked, what if, instead of just pursuing my career, I took a year out to serve? And she did that, and she made a difference in our world. Well, if our lives are always simply focused on what doors will lead to advancement, you know, you'll find those doors to walk through. But God says, I also want you to think about how you can open up doors for others and not just for yourself. And I love the quote John Ortberg this week. He says, love finds doors that ambition never could. It's a great line. Love finds doors that ambition never could. So when we are moved to care for others, it'll open up doors that we can find for others in need. And so the question we need to ask ourselves is, you know, what doors are we looking for? Are we simply looking for the doors to open up and promote our careers, or are we looking for doors that might help others as well? Are we looking for the seats of honor at the banquet, or are we inviting the poor, the blind to come so that we cannot be repaid, but we can help them in need? Now, one of the most important texts in the Old Testament is the calling of Abraham and Sarah. And if you remember, God called Abraham and Sarah to leave their home, and God said, I will bless you. If you'll follow me, I'll give you land. I will give you a great nation. I will give you a child and descendants, and I will bless you. And so it was, Abraham left his hometown, and he followed God. But the important part of that is God said, not only will I bless you, but I will bless you so that you may be a blessing. that's our heritage, you know, that goes all the way back to the father of the Jewish nation, the father of God's people. When God called his people and set his people aside, he says, I'll bless you, but when I do, I expect you to be a blessing to others. That's part of our DNA as Christians that follow in now as God's people through Jesus Christ. When we are blessed, God calls us to be a blessing in our world. And it goes all the way back to the founder of God's people, Abraham. So on the one hand, the greatest blessing, God blesses us, but the neat thing about that text with Abraham, he says, I will, through you, I will bless all the families of the world. And really, ultimately, Abraham's blessing was fulfilled through Jesus Christ, because that's the blessing that was extended to every family. Jesus was a Jew, a descendant of Abraham, and through him God forgives the sins of the entire world. And part of our calling is to let other people know about Jesus. We bless people not only as we help them with their physical needs, we bless them as we point them to Jesus. You know, just as Peter, his life changed, not just as somebody helped him physically, but when he discovered Jesus Christ loved him. And because of the love of Jesus, he could set aside his anger and he could have a sense of peace in life. So it is, we need to point people to Jesus, the greatest blessing of all, that Jesus loves us here and now. And that because of his forgiveness, we can be assured of grace and salvation for eternity, not because we're good enough, but because God is gracious enough. And that's the blessing, ultimately, that comes through Abraham. And so, going back to the father of God's chosen people, it really sets in motion a dynamic that continues for us as God's people today. When God blesses us, he blesses us so that we might be a blessing to others. So what doors are you opening up? Are you only opening up doors for yourself, for self-promotion? Are you opening up doors to help others who might be in need? Do you share God's message of love and compassion so that just as you can have peace and have love, they can have that same thing in their lives as Peter discovered later in his life? What if our motivation was not just self, but the care of others? What if? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, you have blessed each and every one of us. The material blessings we have varies greatly, but the spiritual blessing you have outpoured on each and every one of us. Lord, if there is anger, if there is hurt, if there is pain from the past, in the power of your love, we ask for your spirit of healing to displace the anger with your peace, with your grace. And Lord, as you bless us materially, use us as you use Peter to find ways to bless people in need. Help us to ask that question as the people of God. What if? Amen.